There are two different ways to make money from stocks. The first way is to buy a stock and then resell it later when it reaches a higher price, which is similar to how money is made when you buy a home in real estate. Another way is to buy a stock that pays dividends. Dividend payments are simply profits that a company decides to share with its investors. Verizon, for example, made a profit of around $77 billion in 2021. And out of that $77 billion, the company paid out $10.4 billion in dividends to investors who owned their stock. All you had to do to get a share of that $10.4 billion was own a Verizon stock. When we invest in stocks, we are buying a small piece of a company. There are several ways companies can return value to its investors. Here are three common methods, and this is pulled directly from my Money Mastery program. The first way is investing in company growth. So this can be through opening new stores, improving technology, or expanding the services that they offer. If the company is successful with this, this could increase the company's value, and with that, the actual stock price. The second way is buying back company stock from the stock market. When a company buys back its own stock, it reduces the number of shares that are available on the stock market, which increases the stock price by making the remaining shares more valuable. And then the third common way is paying investors a dividend. Companies can also pay out a portion of their profits back to their investors via a dividend payment. This provides a direct and predictable income source to investors. Although dividends are great since they are more predictable and stable than stock price growth, most of the value in the stock market is created through stock price growth. Since that's the case, to effectively live off of your stock market investments, you will likely have to sell a portion of your stocks each year to create consistent income for yourself. But how do you determine how much you need invested to live off of your entire stock portfolio? Well, this is where the 4% rule comes into play, helping you figure out how much you can safely sell from your investments each year to fund your retirement. So it's called the 4% rule because the idea is that you would sell 4% of your investments each year to pay your bills and fund your lifestyle. For example, let's say that you have an investment account worth $1.5 million. Let's pretend that you're in your late 50s and you've been investing for the last 20 years and you're ready to actually live off your portfolio. The 4% rule would allow you to live on $60,000 per year, since 4% of $1.5 million is $60,000. So let's dig into the 4% rule a little more. Since the stock market grows at an average rate of 8 to 10% per year over the long term, the 4% withdrawal rate provides you some wiggle room. It accounts for inflation, which historically averages around 2% per year, and ideally enables your investment account to continue providing a livable income source for the rest of your life. To effectively use the 4% rule and live off your investments, all you need is at least 25 times your yearly expenses invested, allowing for a safe annual withdrawal rate of 4% without draining your investments too quickly. The research behind the 4% rule comes from a study done by financial advisor William Bengen in 1994. Bengen analyzed historical market data to determine a safe withdrawal rate for retirees that would ensure their investment provided an income for them throughout the remainder of their life. His research covered a period of 50 years, from 1926 to 1976. Bengen's study found that retirees could safely withdraw 4% of their retirement portfolio each year and also adjust that 4% amount annually for inflation. This strategy was found to allow most retirement portfolios to last for 50 years or even longer. It's important to note that the 4% withdrawal rule is simply a general guideline. The 4% number was recommended based on a worst-case scenario. Bengen has even mentioned that a 5% withdrawal rate would be more realistic for most retirees. Bengen has also found that there is no historical case in which a 4% annual withdrawal rate completely drained a retirement portfolio in fewer than 33 years. The main points: the 4% rule itself is flexible based on your specific financial situation and, of course, your risk tolerance. For example, if you're planning to retire early, say at the age of 40, you might be better off withdrawing a little bit less, such as 3% or 3.5% per year, to reduce the risk of running out of money later on in life. At the same time, if you don't need to tap into your investment portfolio until you're in your 60s, you could even get away with using a higher withdrawal percentage, such as 5% or 5.5%. Financial talk host Dave Ramsey is well known for advocating that retirees with a $1 million all-stock portfolio can withdraw 8% annually, or $80,000 per year. He bases this recommendation on the idea of being 100% debt-free and also benefiting from additional income sources, such as Social Security or pensions, which would help decrease some of the risk associated with higher portfolio withdrawal rates. Now, many financial advisors have claimed that an 8% withdrawal rate is way too risky, a risk that many people in retirement can't afford to take. Personally, I believe it's safer to overestimate how much you need in retirement rather than risk underestimating and running out of money halfway through retirement. For this exact reason, I'm a much bigger fan of using the 4% rule to make estimates for retirement. Dividends can also strategically play a part in your 4% withdrawal rate. If your investments pay regular dividends, you can use these payments as part of your income. This approach may reduce the amount of stocks you have to sell to create a retirement income for yourself. It's also common for those nearing retirement to restructure their portfolio towards more conservative investments, such as dividend stocks or bonds, to minimize the risk of loss and avoid running out of money during retirement. It's important to remember that the 4% rule itself is not perfect, but it's a good number to use for making quick estimations to figure out how much income your stock portfolio could generate. The 4% rule is based on a diversified investment approach. The research by William Bengen involved portfolios consisting of investments in the S&P 500 index, which represents the 500 largest U.S. companies. And it also included treasury bonds at retirement. The 4% rule is also designed to help your portfolio last throughout retirement, even during tough economic times. That's exactly why it suggests you only withdraw 4% of your retirement fund each year. Since the stock market can be unpredictable and influenced by big events like wars, economic recessions, or even technological booms, it's important to understand how these events have impacted the stock market in the past to help investors mentally prepare for potential ups and downs during retirement. Let's say you decide to start living off of your portfolio just as a major market downturn happens, such as the tech bubble burst in 1999 or the 2008 global financial crisis. It might be tempting to withdraw more due to all the future uncertainty, or even worse, go all into cash. But taking out more money during market crashes will reduce your ability to benefit from when the market eventually recovers, destroying the purpose of the 4% rule and allowing you to sustain yourself during both good and bad economic times. So it's very important to stick to the 4% rule in both good and bad markets and not allow your emotions to influence otherwise. One final note: investment fees and taxes on your profits can also take a bite out of your income during retirement. It's important to consider these costs when planning how much money you need to invest for retirement. Again, for me, I'd much rather overestimate how much I need at retirement than underestimate. I don't want to be forced to have to go back to work once I've decided I'm ready to fully live off my stock portfolio and invest my energy into other activities. Well, that's a wrap for podcast number 21. I hope you are enjoying these smaller podcast segments where we break down important financial concepts together in an easy to understand way. We will be returning with some new guest podcast episodes later next month. These special guest episodes are always a lot of fun to do since we can bring on people from different backgrounds to share their stories and unique perspectives on the world of money. Thanks again for being an active listener to the Market Hustle podcast. If you're enjoying these episodes and finding the content helpful, do me a quick favor and write us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. The more reviews we get, the more exposure the podcast will get, helping grow and expand the amazing Market Hustle community. Well, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you back next week for another episode. Bye-bye. If you feel just like I do, link up, come and join this crew. Hey, I'ma go invest and I'ma watch my money double, take it to another level with that Market Hustle. Always play it smart, you ain't dealing with a sucker. Take it to another level with that Market Hustle. I'ma hustle, hustle 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 with that Market Hustle. Go.